Schaefer's. Okay. So, let's take a look-see here. Noach, Tav Shin Pei. So first of all, take a look-see what it says over here. It says, the Gemara in Brachas, on Dav Dalar Mid Beis. It says, Amar of Abba Bar Avinam. Kol Omer Tehila Le David, Gimel Pamim, Bechol Yom. Right? Muf Techol Shu Ben Olam Abba. Gemara says, a person says, Ashrei, three times a day. Right? He's Muftach, he's a Ben Olam Abba. The Gemara explains why is he muftach, he's a ben olam haba? Because Ashrei has two components in it. It has the order of the aleph base, and it has also the pasuk poseach es yadecho umaspil chol chai ratzon. Those two components. Why we don't say the kuf yud tes, which has got eight times the aleph base? Why don't we say halal gadol, which also got a pasuk like poseach es yadecho? In other words, it's got the pasuk nosin lechem lechol basar kilam chasto. Gemara says because it has both components. That's why we say it. Rav Kook explains that the reason why, what makes it unique in that it has two components, is that first, a person to be a Ben Olam Haba, he has to, on the one hand, he has to approach the world through the lens of the Torah, using my words. Yeah, the lens of the Torah. And the order of the Aleph Beis, right? The order of the Aleph Beis is what we call are the letters of the Torah, and telling us that the world itself, the order of the world is the order of the Torah. So that's one thing. A person has to have his intellect focused in such a fashion that if he wishes to understand his place in creation in general, he has to approach it through the avenue of the Torah. He says, but that's not sufficient. Why? Because there are turbulent times in people's lives, and unless a person has a spiritual gyroscope to keep him from losing his balance, so even if his mind is attuned, and filled with the light of Torah, but if he doesn't have a spiritual gyroscope to keep him on keel, he'll stumble. And that spiritual gyroscope is bitachon, right? Poseach es yadecho umaspil lechol chai ratzon. Not only is it a sense of bitachon, but I dare say it focuses on the Hashem's hashgacha in a positive sense. In other words, part of our problem, I shouldn't say our problem, part of some people's problem, right? Maybe my problem, I should voice that anybody else, but is that, like the Chovas Levavos says in Shar HaBechina, our assumption is everything is supposed to go right? And then, so our whole yachas, relationship, our discussion with the Creator begins with, so why does something go wrong? Like, well, this is not right, why is this going wrong? Were we to understand, or were we to live with an integrated, what you call, viewpoint or attitude that Hashem is showering upon us, right? Endless goodness. The fact that he gave us and continues to give us existence, which attaches existence, is a ticket to eternity. It's a ticket to eternity. So then, if that becomes the platform upon which all of other life's experiences are heaped upon, so then, okay, fine. So I'll either I will understand or I won't understand. But it's not as though my entire foundation is shaky. It's not like I'm building on quicksand. If it starts off, and that's the idea, poseach es yadecho umaspil lechol chai ratzon, that Hashem supplies his ratzon to every living being, so it's not just a statement of Hashem's involvement in our lives, it's also a positive statement, or a statement of positivity, right, that Hashem is involved in our lives. And once you have that, so then you've got your gyroscope in place. All the things that you can try to understand, things that you can try to understand it and not necessarily be successful in understanding. Okay, like they say in Yiddish, from the kasha shtob minish, you don't die from the question, right? Or just like Rabbi Kiva Eger, like they say, Rabbi Kiva Eger has, he's got his questions in the Gilyon Hashas, Tzarchiyon Gadol, Tzarchiyon Gadol Ma'od, etc. But he turned the page, right? It wasn't like, that's it, it's all over, we're finished, I'm out of here. Yeah, there's a question. Sometimes you have an answer. Sometimes your answer is that you can't have an answer. But again, once again, you're building on a on a firm setting. I dare say also that's why Avraham was successful, right? Avraham was successful in terms of teaching people emuna, right? He was successful in terms of teaching people emuna is because he started off with the concept of chesed, right? Right, he started off olam chesed yibane. He, as it were, taught the world that there is a creator who's giving to us constantly, and he reinforced that with his own personal actions in that he did chesed all the time. He was doing chesed all the time. He's saying, well, all I'm doing is riding the wave of creation. You want to ride the wave of creation, so then you gotta do chesed, because we're recipients of chesed constantly, etc. If you don't do chesed, you're not riding the wave of creation. You're going to get wiped out. Right? You won't be able to make it to shore. But Avram taught that. Avram lived that. And therefore, he was successful. He's successful in communicating to people that there is not only a creator, but a creator who's involved in our lives, and not only a creator involved in our lives in a power play, you know, is he who's got more power, etc. But he's involved in our lives in a very positive sense. I dare say also, and this, you know, this is, to a degree is parenthetical, but when the Gemara says in Ra Adam Yisurim Baimala, we should always be spared. We shouldn't know from Yisurim. Right? The person sees difficult, unusually difficult times coming upon him. It says, Yifashvish v'masav, he should check his actions. And then the Gemara goes all through a long of things. Pishvish v'lo matzah, if he, let's say he checked out his actions. Something unusually difficult times are coming upon him. And he checks his actions, he doesn't see anything wrong. So then the Gemara says, he should be told on bittul Torah. Right? Perhaps he should be learning more, or perhaps he should be more meticulous with his positive commandments. Right? In general, that's a discussion between what do you call between the Rashi and the Ramban, or Rashi in the way the Maral understands it, and the Ramban, etc. And then if that doesn't work, you don't find a solution there, you don't find a flaw over there. So then you assume that Yisurin Shel Ava, that Hashem is either cleansing a person from things he did by mistake, things that were us that they did by mistake. Right, that's what Ramban understands it. Or Hashem wishes to add what he calls chus, merit, to this person beyond what his actions would have brought him up until this point. That's why Rashi explains it. And again, that itself needs its own explanation, but that's not our point. But the idea being of yifashvish v'masav. In other words, if a person, right, when a person, the first assumption is. Not that it's not coming. See, you know, it's not just a recipe. You know, you're suffering. This is a way to alleviate your suffering. I mean, that's also true. It's also true. It is partially a recipe to alleviate it. You can find the flaw, you can fix it. But it's just the idea of realizing it's Hashem is not flawed, right? Even if I don't know what my flaw is, let's say I'm a Gilgal of something or other. You know, I don't remember what I did wrong in the last lifetime. How am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to remember?
Who's Noach a Gilgal of?
I don't know. But what do you call it? The idea of yes,
that's David's phone ringing.
Shh. Lashon Hara, Nick. We call it.
I say his last name.
Yeah. So then we call it. That's the right attitude. In other words, I have to feel guilty. I should cast myself in the nearest parapet. It's just the idea. Realize that Hashem is not flawed. Okay, so fine. That being the case, let's take a look-see at some of the errors. Thank you, Belcher. We call it. Please stand. Let's take a look at some of the errors that took place here in the parsha here. It's really very interesting. In terms of the Dor HaMabul, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Tan Rabbanan, Dor HaMabul, lo nizgo elo b'shvil tova shishpia lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Dor HaMabul, right, the Dor HaMabul, the source of their undoing was they became complacent, proud, right, consumed with themselves because of all the good that Hashem was mashpia upon them. And then the Gemara quotes Psukim from Eov in Perek Chaf Aleph. Eov is, when he's addressing the idea of, you know, Eov had an issue. Eov's his issue was why is it there's, you know, tzaddik v'ralo. And in addition, he brings up the topic of why is there rush of a tovlo? Why rush? And so he talks about the Dor HaMabul. Look at, look at all the blast of a life they had. And the psukim basically talk about what he called, everything they did was always butter side up. Right? Everything they did. They had a blast. Every day was a party. Right? The minute their kids were born, they were all dancing around over there. They cut their own umbilical cord. They were powerful. They were healthy. They were living in orgies all the time, etc. Their monetary, what do you call it, affairs were always successful. Right? Their animals never miscarried. It was, etc., etc. And they died. Bang! That was it. They were died. So, what do you call it? Meanwhile, I'm suffering, says Eov. Right? I'm suffering. They bit the bullet right away. The way Eve describes it, anyway, they bit the bullet right away, and that was the end of it. You know, they got washed away, but meanwhile, their life until then was a blast. What's the story? So, anyway, the description of their success and the pleasure that filled their lives, and just the anarchy that was taking place, that you did whatever you wanted to whomever you wanted. You wanted to steal from this one, you stole from this one. It was endless. Through that, that's where the world of sin came from. Now they said, and see the bold line here at the end of this little paragraph of the Sukkim from Eov, is the Amru, Klum Tzrichim Anu Lo El Latipa Shel Kshamim. Yesh Lanu Haros U Mayonos Sha'anu Mistapki Mehen. We don't need his rain. Yeah, what does the earth need the heavens for? But for rain, we don't need the rain. We've got rivers. We've got the Nile. We've got the Amazon. We call it, right? Etc. Says the Marsha on that Gemara there in Sanhedrin. Says Umanoil ki nifka bo. What do we need to pray to him for? Al tipas kshamim, for a drip of rain. Who needs it? Ki hodu sheyesh eloka. They knew that they believed that there was what do you call it, there was a creator. Suddenly they didn't believe there was a creator. The ancient idolaters all believed like the term that there was Eloka Delohaya, God of gods. But Avachoshu ki aretz nason livnei adam kemaimer aminim ozav Hashem es aretz. But they say Hashem is not involved in our lives. He's not involved in our lives. Therefore they said, what do we need? We don't need from him a drop of rain. The earth is given to us. Horos, Mayonos, etc. See, I have a very funny thing over here. On the one hand, the Gemara starts off saying that because of all the success they had, that's where their flaw came from.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the Gemara says at the end that the Marsha explains it is they believe that God wasn't involved in their lives. God was on vacation. He flipped the world like a frisbee, or like the turn of a roulette wheel. You know, round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. And that's he's not involved in their lives anymore. Mm-hmm. Now these are two different things ostensibly, but the truth is they're not. In other words, the idea being that when a person becomes steeped in physicality, he becomes, as it were, that causes him to think a little crooked, right? He thinks, look, I'm successful. I'm successful, right? Do I see him tapping me on the shoulder and say, hey, bud, here's success? I don't hear him saying that, right? So when a person is successful, there is the potential there, like it says by Klal Yisrael, by Yishvan, Yeshurun, by Yivat. And Yeshurun, even the Jewish people were a straight people, but you wax fat, right? And then you rebel. So the two things are really related in the way the Marsha explains the Gemara. It comes out that through all of their success, right, they drew false philosophical conclusions. We don't need him. Everything's fine. What me worry? Alfred E. Newman reigns. Yeah? And I would have gone, I got what I need. He's not involved in our lives. So that's one thing. That's one thing. He's not involved in our lives based upon the success. If we back up to last week's Parsha, there, right, the Targum Yonason, the Farshim of Targum Yonason, it's called Keser Yonason, explains what Kayin's, right, Kayin had a similar idea, that Hashem is, God forbid, is not involved in our lives. Look at this, what it says over here. This is from the Keser Yonason and Bracious, right? It says, Vayomer Kayin el Hevel. You see this here? Vayomer Kayin el Hevel. Kayin said to Hevel, Achiv, his brother, let's go out to the field. Kain said to Hevel, I look upon the world, Shibarachamim Nivra Olam. I believe the world was created with Rachim, which is fascinating. In other words, he understood not only that there's a creator to the world, but the creator of the world created the world with Rachamim. He created the world with Rachamim. Okay? Now, because otherwise the world wouldn't be able to stand. Okay? That's what he sees it being built. Avalo b'peiros masim tovim hum munhag. But it's not the fruits of a person's good deeds that cause what we call hashgacha, or divine providence, to guide his life. Right? That's not it. And it could be that he understood this, philosophically it could be, after the chait of Adam HaRishon, after all, he's Adam HaRishon's firstborn, after the chait of Adam HaRishon, so things have changed. Just like there's death in the world now, so too God is not involved in life at all anymore. He's not involved in our lives. It's not munag barachamim. And a person's actions make no difference anymore. Umasuponim yesh badin. There's favoritism in did. Favoritism in that, what he called what you do doesn't necessarily in guarantee your success. It's really where it's sort of like Eov himself also suggested at a certain point in the Sefer that even though God may be the creator, but he put a person's life and the events of his life in the hands of a dumb blind system called the Mazalos. Once again, it's like a roulette wheel based upon when the person is conceived and when he's born. So that the ball drops into that slot and that's it. But what you do makes no difference, right? Biglau mash yiskabel korbancha. You know what makes me say that? Because your korban was accepted. The korbanim imeni lo yiskabel beratzon. And my korban wasn't accepted. This is what Kain says to Hevel. Ono lo Hevel. Hevel answered him. Va'omer l'Kain berachamim nivra olam. Well, no, you're wrong. The world was created berachamim. Ubeperos masim tovim humunag. And a person's fate is determined by his deeds. Right? So that's the difference. They all agree the world is created by Rachamim. But Kain says the world is no longer being guided, by a person's deeds have no effect. And Hevel says, no, they do have that effect. Umasupani main badin, and there's no favoritism here. Val shahayu pri maasai tovim b'shulcha, of the code mim l'shulcha, hiskabel baratzon korbani. My stuff was better than yours. My stuff was the bechoros, like the first things that I had. You brought shlach. I brought good stuff. So therefore, God accepted my korban. He accepted your korban. But Kain is already bitter. He's already bitter about his failure over here. And that's another thing. The sense of disappointment sometimes twists a person's mind. Right? The Dora Mabul, their success twisted their mind. In Kayan's case, right, not his disappointment twisted his mind. In other words, the pain that he felt, albeit Kevel explained rightfully to him, and Kayan himself knew what he brought, right? Kayan himself knew what he brought. But because he's so disappointed, the world of the bitterness of the emotion welled up from his heart. And what he called and poisoned his mind. It became a systemic, spiritually systemic infection that rose up from the pain of his heart and went into his mind. And as a result, he said, what he called, on a kind of humble heaven, ain't din, ain't dying. There is no din, there's no justice, and there is no judge in this world. Right? Kira. And there is no other world. There is no other world. There is no place to go from here. Right? This is it. This is the be all and everything, and everything he runs by caprice. The ain matashar told the tzaddikim there's no reward to the tzaddikim ain ephraim merashraim. There's no, as it were, justice extracted from the rishraim. On a hevel, amar yesh din yesh dain yesh olam achav yesh matashar told the tzaddikim. He continues to rebut Kayin. The yesh in ephraim merashraim. And then there is justice that's going to be extracted, punishment that will be extracted from the rishraim. And they continued, and then Kayin got up and gave Hevel with a stone an extra orifice in his forehead, right? And that was the end of Hevel. So you have, what?
Hevel.
Yeah. Right. So you hear two ways that people's philosophical approach becomes distorted. Sometimes it's out of success, and sometimes it's out of what it calls outside of disappointment and bitterness. Further.
Sarah Shimson said that Hevel was winning the fight, and then Cain said, "Okay, I give up." And then when he let him up,
yeah, he killed him. Yeah, right. The Medrash, I feel like that. Yeah, no, they're just like that. That's the Mr. Moto approach. Okay, never mind. It's done.
Dirty trick.
Yeah. This printer is really interesting. I don't know why it does this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now, go to another case. Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the Orev, this week's Parsha, the raven. So he gave, Reish Lakish says that the Orev gave Noach, what do you call it, a real chuvani tzachas, as it were, of course, from his point of view. How so? Yeshiva, the Orev le Noach. Omerlo, Rab Chason Ani. Once again, a similar sort of thing. In other words, a misinterpretation of, what do you call it, of life's structure. Once again, if we go back, just remember, we started off with the Maamar of Chazal, that a person who's going to be a Ben Olam Haba has got to be a person who says Ashrei three times a day. It's got those two qualities to it. On the one hand, he views the world through the lens of the Torah. And second of all, he realizes that Hashem is the source of his existence, and that Hashem is sustaining him, and that becomes the bedrock upon which he builds the edifice of interpretation of all the other events of life. And therefore, he doesn't get bent out of shape. Right? He doesn't get bent out of shape. I mean, it's easy said, not easily implemented, but whatever. But that's the case of here. Comes along your Orev. The Orev says to Noah, he says, you know, you're doing the same thing as your master, i.e. the creator. He says, Rabcha sonani, Vatasne sonni. Your master, right, i.e. Hashem, hates me, and you also hate me. Yeah? Rabcha sonani minatahorim shiva minatmeim shnaim. Your master hates me because he commanded you to take in seven of every oaf tohor, and only two of every oaf tameh. The Orev is an oaf tameh, and only two of us came in instead of seven. Uh-huh. What's the story there? Yeah. And you do the same thing. You do the same thing. In other words, you're following the pattern of your creator, who hated me because he commanded you to take in only two of my type into the ark. And now, who are you sending out to go search and see if the waters have abated? You're sending me. What if I drop dead? What if I drop dead? Who's going to perpetuate my species? Right, that's going to be the end. If there were seven of us, but there aren't seven. There's only two. There's only me, right? My wife, and you would record, and you're willing to send me out there. What if I get killed? What if I get struck by heat stroke? Or what if it's freezing cold outside, and I turn into what he called into frozen chicken, not chicken, raven, yeah. So now he's not only is he interpreting events, right? He's not assuming that what Hashem does is right. He thinks he can critique Hashem. Hashem is being cruel. Why do you only put two of us? Not like the Toros. And you're compounding it because you're following his pattern. You want to follow the pattern of the Creator, i.e. your Torah system, right? You're also cruel. Right? And he's being more moral than that. He's saying his morality is higher than the morality of the Creator. Oh, Shemeli Ishti Atatzorech. Or maybe you covet my wife, Mrs. Raven. Of course, he could have said to her, spoke to the raven, you know, quote the raven nevermore. But whatever, but he says, maybe you covet my wife. Now, here he's projecting his own base, yeah, attachment to physicality, he's projecting it onto Noah. Right? So in other words, what do we have? We got over here, you and your creator are cruel. Right? Your creator is cruel, and the system that you're following of your creator is cruel. Right? I, of course, am more moral than you are. Right? I'm more moral than you are. Right? So I would never do anything like this. And then he projects his own deficiency onto onto Noah. He says, maybe you really got an eye on my wife there, etc. I'm a little Russia. So the Noah says to him, "You Russia, you wicked, right? You raven, yeah." B'mutali nasali. Hashem forbade all of us who entered into the teva to procreate, to cohabit all the time that we were inside the teva. What was mutter to me before, my wife, what do you call it? I've separated myself from her because that's what the Creator commanded me, right? But certainly, I'm not going to, what do you call it, as it were, yeah, cohabit with something that's forbidden to me. And then the Gemara continues, "Minan shenasu." How do you know that it was asking for them to cohabit in the teva? They bring a pasuk. Va'amar Riochanan. Next to the last line of this. Mikan Amru Shanasu Batash Mishamita. They were asked, the world is suffering, the world is being destroyed, but he called, now is not the time to, what he called, to procreate. Sort of like similar to, I mean, there could be other reasons as well, but similar to the fact that Yosef during the years of famine, right, was an abstinence. Because what do you call, people are suffering, you don't involve yourself in things of that nature, what do you call, when people are suffering. It's Ton Rabbanan, and the Gemara concludes, Shlosh Hashim Shuba Teva. There were three who didn't follow the edict of Hashem in the Teva. They didn't fulfill the edict prohibiting cohabitation in the Teva. Who were they? The Kelev, the Orev, and Cham. The dog, the raven, and what he called, and Cham. The Kelev, his punishment is he's always tied up. Right, and as he didn't want to show any sense of restriction in the teva. His punishment: he's always tied up. He's always on a leash. The orev is rok. Right, he spits. Right, right. Sort of an interesting thing. Cham lako beoro, and cham, right, his what do you call, his flesh was scorched black, etc. But anyway, the idea being over here, right, that we have in addition a person who, as it were, right, and there's this Orev, who is not listening to the word of Hashem. Now, what we had before, we had first the discussion of the Bnei Dor HaMabul, what brought them to their apostasy, success. Then we flashed back to Adam. The writer is talking to Cain, where his disappointment and bitterness in life, what he called, caused him to absorb ideas of apostasy, right? That God is not running the world because he was disappointed that his korban wasn't accepted, right? Etc. Disappointment, and now we have the orev over here. When you're not doing right, when you're not doing the will of Hashem, that comes from action. When you're not doing the will of Hashem, you have to find a justification for why you're not doing it. So indeed, you used to turn everything upside down. You recall, why should I do what you say? You're cruel. Your master is cruel, etc. These are three different ways that people mess up their brain, right? It's too much success sometimes turns a person's head. Disappointment turns a person's head. Yeah. And what do you call it? A sense of guilt that you're not doing what you should be doing. So you project onto everybody else your own deficiencies. And meanwhile, why you're doing what you're doing is, why should I listen to you? You're not moral. I'm moral. We see all of these now. We see all these all the time, right? We experience what we call all the time. We see this, right? People whose success blinds them. People whose, what do you call, non-compliance. They feel forced, as it were, to manufacture a false system or to justify what their behavior, etc. And then, unfortunately, there are people whose disappointments in life bend them out of shape. Once again, if we remember, what we call what the Gemara Brachas taught us, if a person says, what we call Ashrei, Tehillah David three times, it investigates the world through the lens of the Torah, one, and also has the Pasuk, Poseach, Hesedecho, Masvil, Kochar Ratzon, right? He bases Hashem's interaction with man, his Hashgacha, as being predicated upon Hashem's care for us, concern for us, etc. So then he stays safe. Right, the bottom citation over there is really just what he called the Akedis Yitzchak, talks about the idea that the Orev, the idea of the Orev flying and never leaving the Teva. Mm-hmm. Right, he never left the Teva. Why? He says that what that's communicating to us is he never wanted to leave the world of physicality. He didn't want to be far away from his wife, who he was cohabiting with in a non-permissible fashion. He didn't want to leave the world of Chomer. The absorption, I should say, in physicality is what twisted him, yeah, in his worldview. That's basically what the Akedah is saying. And that's in contrast to what we call to the Yonah. The Yonah, which always is what he called is a sign of purity. The dove is always a sign of purity, etc. The Yonah fulfilled the mission. The Orev didn't fulfill the mission. Fine. Further. Right? After the flood, so then we have, right, we have the story of Noah. Noah builds a mizbeach, he's makir korbanos, and then he plants a carob. He plants a vineyard, and he unfortunately becomes a stewed prune. Right? Right? And as a result of that, right, well, that was a bad situation. It was a bad situation. We know that what emanated from that was he became drunk. Right, he acted in an indecent fashion, and that caused either Ham or Canaan, right, to deal with him also in an indecent fashion, and brought a curse upon Ham, etc. Says the Rakanti, right, on the Torah, which is one of the Farshim he explains the Ramban often. He's more of a Kabbalist type. He says, "Vayachal Noach Ish Adama, Pshato Yodua V'Nir Mazbezeh Sod Gadol LeChachamim." This is a very important idea, right? Especially for those who are involved in the secrets of the Torah. Secrets of the Torah, who get involved in that. The Shechina, right? Hashem's divine presence is referred to, right, in the literature as a vineyard. A vineyard. Kerem. Shenema Kerem Hayel Shlomo brings Pasuk Yisra Shirim Kerem Hashem Tzvakos the Pasuk Yishaya, right? That Hashem is like a Kerem, right? The Shechina, should say not Hashem, the Shechina, the divine presence is like a Kerem. It needs to be tended, right? It needs to be tended, and it produces, right? It produces what do you call it? You know, yayin, right? It produces wine. And that wine, yayin is always really cool. Yayin is gematria sod, 70. And just like the Maimar say, nichnas yayin gets a sod, right? The yayin goes in and the sod comes out, the secrets, right? Cool. So the depths of the wisdom, the sod of really cool, is all found in the yayin that's produced in the karam. But there are different types of wines in the karam, says the Rakanti. Min ha-karam ahu yotza yayin ha-meshumar ma'anavav. Right? The yayin hamashumar ba'anavav. In other words, you don't drink the rikwa, the wine which is being held inside of the grapes. In other words, we don't see, you don't experience the full yayin now. In other words, the idea being that a person who delves into the Torah now, he always knows that he can only reach a certain point. Right, as long as you're alive, kilo, you're on the adam b'chai. Like Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't see. You can see achorai, you can see my back, but you can't see my face. Right, and it's the attitude towards Torah and the exploration of the depths of the Torah and the depths of Hashem's hashkacha. A person always knows he can understand to a point where he can't understand, and that's the way it is in this world. Right, those who, as it were, say no, you have to be able to understand everything. So what happens is they don't get to the wine which is being still held in the grapes. Instead, they drink other wine. They drink other wine. And that's their undoing. Right? They begin to philosophize about this and that and the next thing, and they go off the derech. Just like we know, Arba nichnasu la pardes. Right? But we know that what he called the terminology used, the four came into what he called into the orchard, the same way it's referred to there in Chazal. Rabbi Akiva, right, and Ben Azai and Ben Zoma and Acher. Rabbi Akiva went in B'Shalom and came out B'Shalom. Acher went off totally, and Ben Azai and Ben Zoma, one died and went crazy, right, etc. So the idea being you have to be careful when you enter into the party. So this is what happened with Noach over here. Imagine Noach. Here he is after the flood. The entire world has been destroyed. He's been saved. And now he wants to delve into what we call, how exactly is Hashem's Hashkocha working over here? But he enters into this, you have to be careful. You have to know where, what to look into, what not to look into. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he talks about the idea of not learning Kfirah, right? Or not philosophizing about things that you recall that you can't understand, etc. He says, because what happens is not everybody can understand, not everybody's seichel has the capacity to understand certain things, and the minute the idea locks in, right, it puts its tentacles on you, it drags you down further and further and further into a world of apostasy. And what happened over here with Noach was, Hashem wants us to delve in, right, into this kerem. He wants us to delve in as much as we're capable of doing, and to search for the Yain HaMashum HaBanovav. And when we reach it, when you go, you know, you can't squeeze the grapes yet, not yet. But you that's where he wants you to understand as much as you can. This is sort of like what the Ramban says in Sefer Iyov. When he talks the explanation there, he says, if we can't understand the bottom line, so why try to understand anything? He says, that's a foolish statement. You want to establish a relationship with the Creator, you try to understand as much as you can. You just have to have the provision there, knowing that I can understand as much as I can understand, and when I get to a point I can't understand, so this I don't understand. People tend to really call it the people who go off, their idea is, well, if I can't understand this, then nothing makes any sense. When you think about it, which is really sort of silly. I mean, it's silly even on an earthly level. If, let's say, I don't have the capacity to understand calculus, right? I can't chop it. Does that mean that we call the calculus a sheker? And certainly doesn't mean that because I don't understand calculus, therefore arithmetic is not true, right? But that's what people do. I can't explain that. It's all out the window. The two different types of wines, two different types of soul, two different times of understanding the secrets of life, as it were, in this kerem, in this vineyard. There is the yain ha-meshumer, which is nizkar ba-mitzad ha-chesed. You know, once again, this idea, if you know that Hashem's giving of himself, his explanation of himself, it emanates, it's one more gift of this act of chesed, so then you're in good shape. So then you go, and now I can't go any further. Sheish ba'ilan v'nikra kos yeshuos esa, a kosi revaya, koshel bracha. This is all the kosel bracha. The more you understand, the wiser you become, the more blessed you become, the more recalled, the more connected to your Creator you become. Va'od yeshvo yayin acher, shneir malav chamas taninim, or surei gefen anochriya. There is the bitter wines of what he called, of apostasy, right? Of what he called, trying to make things make sense according to the way you understand it. And then what he called, that leads you down the primrose path to purgatory, right? And so that's what happened with Noach over here. He wasn't careful. He drank of the wine, and that's where it led him down to what he called towards a path of abandonment, right? Of abandonment. Of course, he recovered. Immediately he realized that he made a mistake. He recovered, but already damage was done. So here, what he called that's an error in the world view, right? In approaching understanding. Right? It wasn't so much that Noah had things wrong with him to begin with. It wasn't a mitos issue. It wasn't like he was bent out of shape, and because of that, he's going to falsify his worldview. But rather, the problem is he entered into the quest for knowledge, right? And he stepped off the path in the quest for knowledge. So again, back to what we started off with. A person who says Tehillah David, says Ashrei three times a day, the order of the Aleph Beis, the order of the world is the order of the Torah. Always that has to be primary and foremost in a person's mind. That if he wishes to understand the world, he has to follow the lead and explore through the lens of the Torah, through the lens of the Torah and nowhere else. Because if he goes some other place, he's going to be, not every day, or not every intellect has the capacity to make sure to right themselves, to bring them back to the right path. And that was Noah's error over here. Unlike the errors we saw before, which were errors where the intellectual, right, perception of things was distorted because of Nidos issues of one sort or another. Either non-compliance, or too much success, or too much disappointment, etc. So they fabricated a false system. Here, Noach would be recalled, he was each tzaddik tamim ha'yabedo rasav. The problem is, in the quest for knowledge, one has to be careful as well. In Migdal Bavel, let's just see Migdal Bavel over here. Migdal Bavel, so it says, "Vehi kol aretz safa achas udvarim achadim." Rashi says, "Safa achas." They all spoke Loshon HaKodesh, which is very lofty. Loshon HaKodesh, the language with which the world was created. Dvarim achadim, singular things, singular ideas. Says the Rashi, "Bo beitza achas v'amulo heimenu shiavor lo esel yonim nala l'rakia v'nasi mo milchama." So here already, right, we're talking about. Once again, and to an extreme, this is a philosophical attack, right? We're not talking about being bent out of shape, right, because of experiences. On the contrary, over here, they combined two things over here. If they had focused on the fact that they were saved from what he called from destruction, they were saved after the deluge. They were saved. Right? Instead, all they could focus on was the tragedy that took place and how they're going to take their destiny into their own hands in order to make sure it doesn't happen again. Right? Rather than focusing on the fact that I'm alive, let's start from there. But instead of focusing on that, they focused instead on what we call, we've seen what's happened before. And therefore, they became antagonistic to the Creator. They saw all the pain, they saw all the suffering, right, etc. Justify, unjustified, that wasn't an issue in their mind. They saw it, and therefore we're going to take our destiny into our own hands. And that's what he called, that's Migdal Bavel. So what do they say? They say, Lo kol heimenu shiyavar lo es elyonim. Why should he choose the place of determining the future of what's going to take place here on the earth? Why should he choose the elyonim? Let's go up to the heavens and do battle with him. So the people of the generation of the dispersion of the Dora Flogger, Dora Palaga. Again, they're not stupid, right? They're not going to go, "Oh, we're going to get up there, you know, we're going to search the corridors of heaven, and we're going to bring the Rambo in, and we're going to go, Arnold Schwarzenegger." Wasn't that crazy? But the idea being is what he called, we want to replace this system. We'll do battle with him, right? We will replace the system. And again, they were knowledgeable in all sorts of kokos of tumah, and they thought that they actually could be successful in this, but the idea is they want to replace the system. That's the first Prat Rashi. Davar Acher al Yichudo Shel Olam, right? They wanted, as it were, to fight against the concept that the world has only one path that leads back to Hashem, who is one. Not true! There are alternate paths. Any path. Doesn't have to be just one path that leads to an ultimate truth. Everything's relative. We don't have to follow one specific path. Once again, we see this again today as well. Udvarim achadim, and here's the last thing of the Amru achas le'elef v'tar nav right shanim. Every 1,000, what do you call it, 656 years, there's a flood, because that's when the first flood took place. So they assumed that when he calls, that being the case, this is part of the system.
It's called extrapolation beyond the data.
Right. They assumed that when he got the case, it's going to happen again. So their fear, their neurosis, is another reason over here. What will we do? We have to stop this. We have to take things into our own hands, etc. And that's exactly what the Tzor HaMor points out, is the fact that they should have been thankful. For the fact that they were saved. Instead, they focused on the destruction that took place, and either they came to attack philosophically, the need to have God run things, we'll put things in our own hands. Put things in our own hands, in our own hands. We'll take care of things in our own hands. And we'll prevent another catastrophe taking place. We'll make sure that there will not be more catastrophes. Right? It says, because we're going to guide things. And who says there's only one objective truth, ultimately? Ha! Poppycock. Right? Because everything's relative. So the Torah more. Different types of kfiyas tova, different way of denying Hashem's goodness to them. Right? In the door of Mabul, before it was destroyed, they denied Hashem's goodness to them because they were so successful. Here, it wasn't like they were so successful, the fact is they were saved. But no, if you don't focus on it, if you don't focus on Poseach Sadech or Masvil Chol Chai Rotzon, if you don't focus on the fact that Hashem is involved in your life and His involvement in your life is ultimately in His Rotzon is to give you Tov, you have no gyroscope. Once you have no gyroscope, you're finished. So he continues, they developed a whole thought process which was poisoned against the Creator. Poison, poison, poison against the Creator. They're going to create their own system. Let's just conclude at the end. This is what we say at the end. The Shloss says at the end when we say Lekain Netzor at the closure of Shmoneh Esrei every time. It says Lekain Netzor L'Shonim Ira. Right? We say the Tefillah written by Mar Bar Avina that we ask Hashem Elokai Netzor guard L'Shoni my tongue Mira from evil. Says the Shloss Gam Shayach Shtika Belev. When we talk about this in the kind of Torah, it's not just the don't talk lashon hara. We're talking about not speaking in the heart. In other words, we're talking about to protect the heart from speaking inside of itself false ideas, ideas of rishus, right? Protect my heart. Because, you know, sometimes people may not speak things out, but they're filled with so much rot. And the inside, it destroys their system from the inside. They're filled with angers and jealousies. They're filled with false pride. They're filled with all sorts of hatreds, or unbridled whatever, I don't know, desires and stuff like that. So the bakasha here is, yeah, rotzaloma shelibo al yemayr lahotzi machshav telepoel. Right? If you feel something welling up, quash it. Like, let's say you're looking at somebody and you have bad feelings towards them, etc. Quash it. Say to yourself, "Haftulareicha kamocha, haftulareicha kamocha." Zekhal goro b'tor. We all need each other. We all need each other. We all need each other, right? And that way, you vaporize, recall the bad feelings that are coming up inside. Don't allow them to percolate. Don't be satisfied. Oh, I didn't say anything. I didn't say any lashon hara. I didn't put on a pair of rollerblades and nudge it down the tallest staircase I could find, right? I didn't do that. It's not okay. Nope, it's not okay, right? It's not okay. You have to vaporize it inside. You can't keep it from coming in, right? I mean, when a person not control what it calls, but the minute it comes, right, phaser him, right, etc. It's called shadibur also kacha hirur also. There's never meaning machshava and hirur. Machshava is you're not controlling machshava. What do you call it? Machshava comes in, a thought comes into your head. Hirur is when you're mulling it over. Right, you're mulling it over. You're going over and you're thinking and recall. Yeah, and recall. And then recall. I hate him. When can I have an opportunity to show what a fake he is? Or when can I have an opportunity to put him on those proverbial rollerblades? Recall and put him on top of the largest banana peel in the world, the top of the tallest staircase in the world, and send him swiftly downward to meet a destiny of frittata mixed with shakshuka. Yeah, right. So that he says, "Oser kacha hiru oser v'yishtok belibo." The person should silence his heart, means varim apogmim, from things, as it were, that putrefy his heart. Ritzoni sheyisalika here, huro mehem, he should remove his hair from them. V'oz yivato belibo kina v'sina v'taiva v'kova v'hurei avera kashim avera. If a person, the minute they come in. Again, you don't have control over recall when it comes in. Recall, it comes in, it comes in. Recall, we're not robots, right? But you have to vaporize them when they come. Or recall, late to our brali elokim, right? If a person is besieged, whatever you call it, by impure thoughts. Lev tohor brali elokim. Hashem, recall, please create for me a pure heart. Lev tohor brali elokim. If a person is filled with anger, recall, v'hamtzorecha kamocha. Right? That called Gadol Bator. Whatever. Each person can pick his own Jewish mantra. Kamosh Amr Rabbeinu Kaloshnu Kulmos Aleid. Because the lashon, the tongue, is nothing more than the pen of the heart. The inkwell, the source, is where he calls the heart. You have to say, quash it in the heart, and not just keep yourself. Obviously, you shouldn't say anything. That goes without saying, right? But the idea is, don't be self-satisfied because I've kept myself from saying something, and I'm allowing all this rot, as it were, to percolate inside of me. Right? So, right, in other words, the Dor HaPalaga, etc., they manufactured a false world inside of themselves, right? It all started from lack of appreciation, but they fostered this false world inside of themselves, and it cooked and it percolated until they had the audacity to say, we're going to replace the system of God running the world. We have the ability to do it. We can do, right? We can do. They would call it the false spiritual CBs of the world, right, etc. And so that then becomes, this is what we call it, this is the backdrop, the end of the parsha, or begins Avram, and like we said, how was Avram successful? Avram taught the truth, and he complemented that truth with Maisa Chesed, because the way he introduced the world to Hashem, as being the great giver of Chesed, and he put his money keel, as where his mouth was, and he reinforced this idea of Hashem giving to us, by doing acts of chesed. He showed that this is the wave of life, you gotta ride the wave, and that's why Avram was totally successful, right, in all of his spiritual endeavors. Go ahead.